Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. We have a clear sky now and 54 degrees. President Trump unveils plans for a new generation of missile defense, the Golden Dome.
Once fully operational, President Trump says the Golden Dome will be capable of intercepting missiles fired from around the world or launched from space.
It's a pretty evil world out there, so this is something that goes a long way toward the survival of this great country.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth calls the system a game changer.
It's a generational investment in the security of America and Americans.
President Trump says he's allocating $25 billion as initial funding in the reconciliation package being negotiated by Republicans. He says the full project will total $175 billion and be operational in about 3 years. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
An amended downtown parking plan was approved Tuesday by the Wichita City Council.
The car park will continue management and enforcement for all city-owned parking facilities in the downtown, excluding Delano, upgraded smart parking meters for credit card payments, a mobile app, and license plate recognition equipment for enforcement will be implemented. Back in December, the council approved parking fees of $1 per hour between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Friday and Saturday. The plan is forecast to generate approximately $2.2 million for the city over a 12-month period beginning July 1st. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
At a relief center in Abbeville, preparations are underway to help residents with the long-term effects of building back from last weekend's storms. Valerie Taylor with United Way of Reno County says their goal is to assess people's needs.
VOAD's mission is for long-term recovery, and so we pick up where Red Cross responds to that immediate crisis. We're there for the long haul.
Taylor says they have brought together resources from a coalition of nonprofits to provide assistance. Abbeville, of course, in Reno County. A body was found as Hutchinson firefighters battled a fire in a storage unit Tuesday morning at Store & Go Self-Storage, 4th and Bone Break in Hutch. Police and fire crews found smoke coming from one of 8 storage units. They found the body as firefighters began cutting through locks and doors. Investigators speculate the person was living in the unit where the fire broke out. Cause of the blaze is under investigation. The One Big Beautiful Bill is still up in the air.
Congressman Mike Lawler is still working on an agreement alongside his fellow New York Republicans on a deal involving SALT, the state and local tax deduction.
I'm going to continue to negotiate in good faith to get a bill passed.
Republicans remain at odds over the Big Beautiful Bill containing President Trump's agenda on taxes, spending, energy, and border security. Blue state Republicans want to lift the cap on SALT past what's been offered at $30,000. Meanwhile, conservative Republicans want work requirements for Medicaid to take effect sooner. On Capitol Hill, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
A former Capitol riot defendant is convicted of federal firearms charges.
Taylor Toronto, convicted of making a hoax bomb threat to a government building and illegally possessing guns and ammunition. The Navy veteran from Washington State who had his Capitol riot case dismissed by the Trump administration was arrested near former President Barack Obama's Washington, D.C. home in June of 2023. Investigators say he was found with 2 guns, roughly 500 rounds of ammunition, and a machete in his van. Prosecutors say he was live streaming, making threatening statements about Democrats, including the former president, and detailing an ominous, threatening plan to the National Institute of Standards and Technology, part of the U.S. Department of Commerce. Defense attorneys had argued he had no bomb-making materials and wasn't near the institute. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:04, 4 minutes past 6 o'clock. KNSS News Time now, 6:08, 8 minutes past 6 o'clock. No weekly meeting for Sedgwick County Commission today. Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News commissioners are staying busy.
The Board of County Commission, all five commissioners, are really active in the budget processing. That's really the most important thing that we do. So for 2 weeks in May every year, all 46 department heads come and do a presentation before the county commission so that we can just analyze where their needs are, what kind of a state of the union is, and if they have any specific budget request. And that's what we've been doing for the last 2 weeks. It's quite a process.
Beatty commented during his weekly visit with Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS. A school board meeting in Naperville, Illinois, became a debate Monday over the inclusion of transgender athletes in girls' sports.
This board meeting came after a transgender student reportedly took home multiple wins at a middle school girls' track meet over the weekend, which also prompted a nonprofit group called Awake Illinois to file a federal civil rights complaint against the school district, accusing them of, quote, engaging in sex-based discrimination within education programs or activities that receive federal funding. And the Department of Education has not yet publicly responded to the complaint, but if they do investigate the Chicago area school district, it will join a long list of institutions being looked into by the Trump administration over those Title IX violations.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer reporting. The village of Dalton, Illinois, plans to buy the childhood home of Pope Leo XIV as visitors flock to the home for the first American pope. Fox's Casey Cronus reports.
Since he was elected pontiff, neighbors have seen an influx of visitors to Pope Leo's childhood home. They tell me one couple from Germany even stopped by this afternoon. Now two Dalton police squads are stationed outside the home as a precaution. The current owner purchased the home before realizing the significance it would soon carry. Attorney Bert Odelson, who represents the village, issued a letter to the auction house Paramount Realty USA, notifying them of their intent to purchase the home through eminent domain. The village plans to pay fair market value and is working with the Chicago Archdiocese to turn the home into a historic site.
The town's board also approved naming a street after the Pope. Police in Colorado have again found themselves hopping after an escaped pet.
It was round two of a Colorado kangaroo caper for police in Durango, a community in the southwestern part of the state. A pet kangaroo named Irwin went on walkabout Monday, but unlike a boomerang, he did not come back. Officers managed to corner him near a home and placed him in the back of a police truck without too much incident. Now, last year, Irwin also managed to escape when he was still a joey or baby kangaroo. In that instance, officers held open a bag similar to his mother's pouch, and he jumped right in. Tom Graham, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:11, 11 minutes past 6 o'clock.
Traffic in the Wichita area, well, the traffic conditions, very nice out there. Traffic volume, still fairly light for the most part. You will want to watch out. We do have a traffic problem on West Street, north and southbound on West Street, but mostly southbound, and it is just north of 31st Street South. And it looks like we've just got some really heavy and hardly moving at all traffic right there. So it's just something to be aware of there on Southwest Street. Traffic update from 98.7, 1330 KNSS and the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jad Chambers.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. Only a 10% chance of a shower or storm, especially late in the day. Warm, near average high of 79 degrees. Winds are going to be a lot lighter today, too, out of the northeast at 5 to 15 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
We have a few clouds right now. A north wind at 9 miles per hour, 54 degrees. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Steve and Ted in the Morning. Good morning, Ted Woodward.
Hello.
Today is Wednesday, November, May 21st, and this is Steve and Ted Show number 6,933.
6,933.
Had a sunny day across South Central Kansas Tuesday after the storms, and Wichita's high temperature, 79 degrees. Normal high is 79. And we had a wind gust from the northwest of 73 miles per hour clocked at Eisenhower Airport as that thunderstorm front rolled through here. Wow, 73 miles per hour. That's going. On this date in 1931, an incredible late snowstorm struck the Western Plains. Tribune, Kansas received 8 inches of snow. Snowstorm caused a sharp temperature spike. 4 days before the storm, the high in Tribune was 90. On the day of the winter storm, the high was 37. Tribune, Kansas. A strange, strange snowstorm. Today is the 21st day of May, and it was on this date 144 years ago. In 1881, the American Red Cross was founded by Clara Barton in Washington, D.C. Red Cross active, just doing a research. They're just pretty active over at Abbeville right now. And they've got them doing a lot of service over there for the folks who got hit by the tornado the other day. Red Cross, 144 years old today and still active, still helping folks. Had a tragic, well.
What's the Clara Barton stat about Kansas?
You got one?
Yeah. You don't know?
I guess I don't know. Well.
Barton County named after her.
Oh, is it really?
The only county in Kansas named after a woman.
There you go.
105 counties, only one named after a woman, Clara Barton.
There's information from Ted Woodward. Very good. George Wentz, best known for his role as Norm Peterson on Cheers, has passed away at the age of 76. His publicist, Melissa Nathan, described Wentz as a doting family man and a well-loved friend and confidant. Wentz's career began in the 1970s as part of Chicago's Second City Improv. He appeared in all 275 episodes of Cheers. And you can just tell he was a heck of a guy just by, well, I don't know.
He talk
just,
about the role of a lifetime.
Norm. Authorities have reportedly made the first arrest.
Why are you need to mention why you mentioned George Wendt.
Yeah. He died.
He passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said that.
Did he say that? Yeah. I didn't hear you say that.
Yeah, I did. I started with that.
Okay.
So, yeah. It was in the beginning, yeah.
Yeah. Authorities have reportedly made the first arrest in the investigation into how 10 inmates escaped from the jail in New Orleans. Authorities have arrested Sterling Williams and booked him into jail on one count of malfeasance in the office and 10 counts of simple escape. Apparently, he was one of the guards or one that helped them figure out a way to get out of there. Okay, let's see here. Got a birthday today, wanted to mention, and right off the bat, Mark Chamberlain's having a birthday. Do you remember Mark?
Of course I do.
For several years, Mark was a journalist, a TV journalist at KTV, and then went into business with a marketing and advertising agency. And I don't know if he's still doing it or not.
I believe so. I think
he's
he
still going strong. Mark Chamberlain, good guy. He's having a birthday today. There's a birthday. I've got a big one coming up here in just a couple of days. I'm not going to mention it yet, but somebody close to me is having a monumental birthday.
Oh.
And just a reminder, Memorial Day is next Monday, the 26th. And, yeah. So it's coming up on 617, Stephen 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Let's take a look at leadoff sports this morning with Ted Woodward.
All right, we take a look at college baseball, the American Conference Tournament beginning yesterday in Clearwater, Florida. Wichita State taking on Charlotte in the opening round and facing the best pitcher in the conference. Well, you might be able to figure out what happened. Mike Kennedy, of course, had the call of the game yesterday afternoon on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
This one belonged to Charlotte pretty much right from the beginning. Going into the game, Wichita State was well aware they were facing the pitcher of the year in the conference. You were not going to expect many runs off of Blake Gillespie. You had to think going in that maybe three would be about it. So Shockers needed to hold Charlotte to a low total. They got one run in the first and then three in the second. That was the big inning. Three runs on four hits. They added two more in the third.
Yeah, so the Shocks were down 6-0 early against the best pitcher in the conference. Charlotte wins it 7-1. As Gillespie went 8 innings and struck out 13 Shockers. All right, Wichita State's 5-game winning streak snapped. Charlotte now has won 10 games in a row. Well, that puts the Shockers into the loser's bracket, so every loss from here on out will end the season for the Shockers. They have to win out to keep going. So in the loser's bracket today, you've got Wichita State taking on number 3 seed South Florida. And that game should start sometime after 3:30 this afternoon. Mike Kennedy and Denning Gehrig will have the call of the game on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. The Big 12 baseball tournament getting underway in Arlington, Texas today. This is a single elimination tournament, so every game is an elimination game at the Big 12 tournament under this new format. Today, it's number 6 seed Kansas State taking on number 11 seed Houston in the opening round, and that is a late game tonight at 8 o'clock down in Arlington for K-State. KU head coach Dan Fitzgerald has been named the Big 12 Conference Coach of the Year. And why not? Leading the Jayhawks to a 42-14 record this year, second place in the conference. First time a KU coach has ever been named Big 12 Coach of the Year. The last time KU had the Coach of the Year in the conference, it was the Big 8. And that was 32 years ago, Dave Bingham, the year that the Jayhawks went to the College World Series. KU is the only team in the nation this year with 40 wins, 20 conference wins, and 20 road wins.
Whoa.
Really? Yeah. It's an impressive stat there. Dan Fitzgerald, KU head coach, is the Big 12 Conference Coach of the Year. Major League Baseball, the Kansas City Royals on the West Coast last night taking on the San Francisco Giants. And a similar theme for the Royals, not a lot of offense. You heard the game last night. 32,000 fans were at the game in San Francisco. That was on KFH.
The Giants outpitched the Royals in a 3-2 win last night, evening this series 1-1. Giants starter Hayden Birdsong, making his first start of the year, allowed only an unearned run over his five innings. KC scored in the third when Kyle Isbell drove in Drew Waters on a sacrifice fly. The Giants scored two in the fourth, one in the fifth to go up 3-1. Royals put up an eighth-inning run on a Bobby Witt Jr. RBI infield single. The comeback ended there.
So the Royals fall 3-2 to the Giants. They'll finish that series up with a rubber match this afternoon out in San Francisco. The Royals and the Giants to finish up that three-game series. The JUCO Softball World Series continues in Yuma, Arizona. And we are into the winner's bracket quarterfinals today. Number 9 seed Butler Community College taking on the top team in the nation, Florida Southwestern State. At 3:30 this afternoon, Butler is 45-7 on a six-game winning streak. Florida Southwestern is 53-5, and they've won 14 in a row.
Oh.
So good luck to Butler today, taking on the top team in the nation in the winner's bracket quarterfinals at the JUCO World Series in softball. High school boys golf. State regionals going on all over the state in the Class 5A regional here in Wichita at Auburn Hills. The winner, Mays South. They won it by a lot. And the individual champ, Lakin Matthews, also from Mays South. She shot a 75 as Mays South controls that regional in Class 5A out at Auburn Hills. And in a 5A regional at Rolling Hills, Andover the winner. And the individual champ, Grant Hatzenbuehler, he shot a 71. He's from Andover. So Andover does well at the 5A regional at Rolling Hills, going on into state competition later on next week. That's sports with Steve and Ted. Sports is brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center, a safe healing environment with caring employees that fully understand recovery from addiction. That's Bel Air Recovery Center. They improve the lives they touch.
6:21, coming up, Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Junk journaling. What is it? That's on the way with Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 6:30 on this Wednesday morning, 54 degrees now. The city of Wichita has amended regulations for the sale and shooting of fireworks within the city limits.
Those amendments were due to changes by the Kansas Senate during the 2025 legislative session. The state now allows seasonal fireworks between June 20th and July 7th, a total of 18 days. Permanent retailers can sell fireworks year-round. Battalion Chief Jose Ocades with the Wichita Fire Department says the shooting dates and times will mirror what the city allowed last year.
June 27th through July 5th, and allow aerial fireworks to be sold or to be shot July 3rd through the 5th. And the hours of shooting will be 10 a.m. to midnight.
Seasonal fireworks can be sold between June 27th and July 4th. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Even though the council approved the fireworks amendments, the city is still taking feedback on the issue until May 30th.
High winds knocking out power to tens of thousands in Kansas yesterday. In Sedgwick County, about 2,600 customers still remain without power. Evergy spokesperson Gina Penzig says the company is using drones to help crews replace nearly three dozen power poles and 50 spans of wire.
This increases both efficiency and safety of the work because we're able to fly that line and see where the damage is much more efficiently than if we had somebody walking or trying to get a vehicle into that space.
And power is expected to be restored completely no later than tonight.
More than 30,000 patients at Hunter Health may have had their personal information stolen in a data breach.
The clinic says an unauthorized party gained access to an employee email account this past September. Some of the files stored in that account included names, date of birth, social security numbers, government ID numbers, financial and medical information. Hunter Health issued a statement saying that they are not aware of any identity fraud or misuse of information so far. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
The Sedgwick County Commission has been hearing spending proposals from the county's 46 departments during the past couple of weeks as it writes a budget for next year. Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News there's pressure to maintain services while holding down spending.
There's pressures on public safety. If you think about what we've got to do at 911 and EMS, you know, the call volume coming into 911 over the last 3 years is significantly surged. They get 1,100 calls a day now on average.
Beatty commented during his weekly visit with Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS.
South Africa's leader visits President Trump today amid the administration accusing South Africa's government of committing genocide.
Dozens of Afrikaners, white South Africans of Dutch descent, were granted refugee status in the U.S. this month as President Trump accused the South African government of persecuting minority farmers.
It's a genocide that's taking place that you people don't want to write about, but it's a terrible thing that's taking place, and farmers are being killed.
South African leaders deny the charge and say President Trump is repeating misinformation. The country's president, Cyril Ramaphosa, will make his case to President Trump today as the two leaders discuss violence in the country, as well as trade and tariffs. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
A man who set a Texas grandmother on fire has been executed 13 years after her murder.
49-year-old Matthew Johnson received a lethal injection at the state penitentiary in Huntsville. He had doused 76-year-old gas station clerk Nancy Harris with lighter fluid and then set her ablaze during a robbery in Garland, Texas, shortly before his demise. Johnson asked for forgiveness from the Harris family and apologized to his wife and children for what he did. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies, only a 10% chance of a shower or storm, especially late in the day. Warm, near average high of 79 degrees. Winds are going to be a lot lighter today, too, out of the northeast at 5 to 15 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Now a few clouds, a north wind at 9 miles per hour, 54 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 6:34, Steve and Ted in the morning, and later on, 7 o'clock hour, we have our first Wichita Business Journal update with editor Kirk Seminoff. City Council turns down a legal settlement with a Wichita developer, and Kirk's going to tell you about that. Coming up, first shot at 7:50 this morning with Steve and Ted. Today is Wednesday, May 21st, and it was on this date 45 years ago in 1980, The Empire Strikes Back opened in the UK and some US theaters. It went on to earn more than $550 million worldwide.
Great movie.
Empire Strikes Back, yep. Let's see, what was that date? 1980, okay.
We'd waited 3 years for the next Star Wars movie. You had to wait 3 years then for the next one to come out.
Wow. Well, it finally did, huh? Let's see here. You know, questions remain about the number and strength of weekend storms in parts of Kansas. The Goodland National Weather Service says the Grinnell tornado was at least an EF2 with winds between 111 and 135 miles per hour. However, officials caution that when all the data has been processed, it could have been a little stronger than that. Meanwhile, the Dodge City Weather Service is working in the Wichita office to determine the strength of the storm that hit Plevna. And no word here on Abbeville, but the way the EF5, the Fujita scale works, if you're not aware, is it's not somebody looks at it and says, boy, that's a lot of wind. They go out afterwards and assess the damage and have formulas of what they see there, Ted, I guess, and formulate it that way. So it'll take a couple of days to get a reading on it, I'm sure. 6:36 now, Stephen Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Yeah, folks are out there recovering at Abbeville and other places, Plevna around our area. It's devastating. I'm glad we've never had to go through it. At least I haven't. That kind of devastation, if you survive, your home is gone. Yeah, maybe your car is gone or all your possessions are thrown
into
the air.
Everything could be gone.
Some of those folks just lose everything. And if you've got homeowner's insurance, at least you're going to be at least partially taken care of. I know I've kind of looked at my policy, and if anything like that happens, they're going to put me up in a hotel and a motel, take care of us pretty well, I hope. But gosh, I hope nothing like that ever happens to me. Our thoughts are with you this morning if you've had a devastating experience. Home Depot doesn't expect to raise prices because of tariffs, saying it has spent years diversifying the sources for the goods on its shelves. Billy Bastek, Executive Vice President of Merchandising, said during a conference call Tuesday that Home Depot's suppliers have shifted sourcing across several countries and that the company doesn't expect any single country outside of the U.S. will represent more than 10% of its purchases 12 months from now. So Home Depot, I guess, pretty smart. They were diversifying for years, apparently, before the tariff thing came up. You go to Home Depot?
No.
Okay. I do.
I'm not a DIY person.
I'm not either, but if I need anything like that, Shelly's got some flowers over there and some things like that and some gardening stuff. And can't think, we got some window well covers from there. But, I'm kind of a fan of Home Depot. It's because Menards is great. Lowe's, they all do good with this new DIY craze that's going on. Stephen Ted in the morning here on KNSS, and it is time for our KNSS Commodities Update with Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Steve and Ted. The only cash cattle trade we have seen so far this week has took place in Kansas at $119. That's down a dollar from last week. Now, box beef prices are continuing to shoot higher. Box beef for export sale is down 19% year on year. Now, the live cattle and feeder cattle futures had another session of up and down trading and closed mostly on a slightly positive side yesterday. Lean hogs yesterday traded and closed two-sided. At the close, August live cattle 7 cents lower, 207.85. August feeder cattle 2 cents higher, 297.50. And July lean hogs down 2 cents at 103.55. Now, short covering by the managed money accounts gave upside yesterday to the wheat and corn futures as they closed positive along with the soybean futures. Now, July Kansas City wheat as of yesterday had a 9-session high and since last week's low has gone up 38 cents. At the moment, July Kansas City wheat's 2.25 cents higher, 538.5. July corn down a penny at 453.5. July soybeans up 6.5 cents at 1059.5. July crude oil 46 cents higher at $62.48. June gold $26 higher at $3,310.50. The June S&P's 32 points lower at 5,927. June dollar index 51 cents lower at $99.47. And June Dow Jones futures 319 points lower at 42,453. For commodity trading, ag marketing, or managed trading programs, contact Leffler Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
Tommy, have you ever known anybody personally who's lost a home or their farmstead in a tornado or a storm?
Yeah, I know people that have been affected by tornadoes and also floods.
Floods
are also bad.
Yeah. So
And on top of that, people have just had actual house fires. Fires, not from any kind of a disaster, just had their homes burned down, too. That's another bad thing.
Okay. Well, yep. Anytime you lose your house or your home, it can be bad. All right,
sir. This one with all your personal possessions are there.
Yeah, even those pictures of you when you were in the eighth grade.
That's right, probably are best not to be seen again.
Yeah, which is, we were glad those got destroyed, yeah?
Exactly.
I've got some pictures of me when I was a kid, and I tell you what, only reason we keep them around is to keep the mice out of the house, I think. Wow. But my wife assures me I was darling. So, what, you you know, wives are.
Well,
like
that's
that.
Good.
They're so encouraging.
Sure. Now,
look at this picture of me, honey. I look terrible.
No, you don't. Your forehead's a little big, but so what?
You know, God bless them, right? All right. Hey, Tom, let's see. You're going to be out tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm going to be out to a feed yard meeting.
A feed yard meeting. And what happens yes. at that? Do they, is there any chow provided at the feed yard?
Oh, yeah. Steaks.
Oh, you're going to be fed at the feed yard. All right.
You bet.
Would that be a great name for a restaurant?
The feed yard.
I think it's got a ring to it.
I like that.
It does. What was the name of that restaurant up in the Kansas City suburbs? That was it was a farm deal. I mean,
there was a Golden Ox up there years ago.
That wasn't it, but I can't. Yeah, we went there a couple times. A family dining, a really nice.
I know what
great
you're trying
place.
To think of. It wasn't the Grain Bin, was it?
I don't know. I can't remember.
There's something similar to that that used to be up there.
Yeah, it's been 15, 20 years ago since I think we saw that. All right, sir. Thank you. Have a good one, and we'll see you back here on Friday, right?
That is right.
All right. Thank you, sir. That's Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. Every morning here with Steve and Ted. Coming up, we got Don Grant, CFP, the money tracker. Another financial rule of thumb.
Okay.
So have a pencil and paper ready. Don will be here with us in just a couple of minutes. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS 646 here on this Wednesday morning. Three big things.
Three.
Wichita City Council approves downtown parking plan, excluding Delano.
Two.
Wichita City Council amends fireworks ordinance, shooting allowed between June 27th and July 5th.
One.
President Trump unveils new missile defense plan called Golden Dome. Three big things. Steve and Ted on KNSS.
The traffic volume still pretty light out there, although starting to pick up in the Wichita area. We do have a stalled out vehicle, so watch for a slowdown around this. Southbound I-135 south of 21st Street. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. In the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, I'm Jad Chambers.
Sunny today with a high of 78 degrees. 20% chance for rain tonight, the overnight low 54. On Thursday, sunny, tomorrow's high, 74. Now a few clouds, north wind at 9 miles per hour. 54 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Steve and Ted in the morning. After 40 years, police released the name of the killer in a Utah cold case.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. It was a rape and murder that baffled investigators for four decades. Christine Gallegos was 18 years old when she was last seen hitchhiking to downtown Salt Lake City on her way to work on May 15th, 1985. Her body was found the next morning. Police say she was beaten, raped, stabbed, and shot twice in the head. On the 40th anniversary of her death, police announced the likely killer that evaded them for decades is Ricky Lee Stallworth, an Air Force veteran that went on to marry five times and have three kids before his death in 2023. The same year, evidence from the crime scene was sent to a genetic genealogy lab. Several months later, the lab said they had a suspect. Stallworth's son provided a DNA sample that was a match to the DNA found on Gallegos' body. Stallworth was 27 at the time of Gallegos' murder and was known to police for alleged interactions with prostitutes in the last 2 years of his life. Police posthumously dubbed him the State Street Stalker. There's more on the story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Boeing stock ended up on the upside on Wall Street Tuesday.
Stocks taking a pause and ending lower with the S&P 500 snapping a six-session winning streak. Most mega-cap and growth stocks fell, with Tesla an outlier. Its shares rose 0.5% after its CEO Elon Musk said at an economic forum in Qatar that he was still committed to being the company's chief executive in 5 years. And at the same time, Musk said that he expects hundreds of thousands of self-driving Teslas to be on the road, requiring no human intervention by the end of next year. The Dow winners, United Health, Boeing, and Johnson & Johnson. The Dow decliners, Goldman Sachs, Caterpillar, and American Express. The Dow falling 115 points, the Nasdaq lower by 73, S&P 500 down 23. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Another financial rule of thumb. Don Grant, CFP, The Money Tracker with Steve and Ted in the morning. Good morning, Don.
Well, good morning, Steve and Ted. As a financial planning professional, when I, you know, I read a lot and I tend to gravitate towards media that espouse retirement planning solutions, of course. Well, many of them sound logical, but when I plug them into a case study, they're either very narrowly focused or they just make no sense. Every investor will have a different set of circumstances, so no one rule is going to fit all. You've probably heard of the 4% rule that you'll need 80% of your post-retirement income to retire. Well, it may work for one person, but not everyone. The latest rule of thumb that I read about is what's called the Rule of 25. The Rule of 25 is used to estimate how much you need to retire comfortably. A proponent of the concept says, well, it's useful for quickly illustrating the concept of financial independence. Well, at least they've qualified the action as providing a ballpark figure. Here's how it works. Take the amount you expect to spend each year in retirement. Then multiply that by 25. That's roughly how much you'll need to fund a 30-year retirement, assuming a 4% annual withdrawal rate from your investments. For example, if you think you'll spend $100,000 a year in retirement, the rule says you'll need $2.5 million invested. Jeesh. Well, it sounded real simple, but what if you have $35,000 a year in Social Security or rental property for pension income? Does that include does that 2.5 million need to grow every year? Does the rule of 25 factor in inflation? The concept does not account for individual circumstances. Here's a better idea. Look at what you need. Then look at what you have. And what can you count on receiving from other sources like Social Security? If you come up short, you'll need to have investments that make up the difference. Not a fancy rule of thumb with a catchy title, but it works. And, of course, if you have any questions, you can give me a call over at Sabre Wealth. The number is 316-267-0600.
I don't know if you were catching our talk with Tom Leffler, our commodities reporter, a few minutes ago, talking about farm-themed restaurants.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember the one in the Kansas City suburbs that my family and I went to several times. Now I found it. I did a little research. It's called the Farmhouse.
That's a good, good farm-themed restaurant.
You know, had a tractor out front and a plow and everything. It was just like, you know, on the farm, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of fun. And they had family-style serving, kind of a lot of like Stroud's.
Okay, but, okay.
It was a fun place, and they had great food up there, I'll tell you that.
Well, I think there's several others. I mean, there's the, what's that, the Red Barn or the Barn? Well, someplace, not
one. That's the west side of Kingman. Is that the Red Barn?
That might be.
Yeah.
All right. Huck is in here, and he's licking Ted's hand. Ted must have had some
dog with you today. Ted's been eating a donut, and you know.
Well, and then somebody I heard had mentioned the Grain Bin. The Grain Bin I thought was in Garden City.
I don't know.
And they actually had like a dance club or something to go on late, and they had pretty good steak out there.
Today is National Waitstaff Day.
Okay.
Encouraging everyone to show appreciation to all waitstaff for making our dining experiences enjoyable. At the same time, restaurant owners and managers also recognize and express their appreciation for their team of waitstaff.
They should do that. We should do that every day whenever we go someplace, not just once a year.
My twin granddaughters are both waiting for the first time.
Waiting for what?
They've got jobs at restaurants first time this spring. And they're doing quite well. I mean, I've had both of them. Shelly and I have had both of them wait on us. And they don't need much encouragement. They picked it up in a hurry, and they know what they're doing.
Did they bring you some free extra scallops
something? But they do bring stories home of the customers who don't tip. And they're just a pain in the, you know. So if you folks if you're a waiter or a waitress, we understand.
Yeah.
And by the way, coming up here in, I don't know, maybe about a half hour, we're going to talk about some of the things that waitstaff people say about their jobs and things for. They've taken some polls. I know. Did you ever do anything to a customer that was, anyway.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It'll be fun.
Oh, I had some stories. I had some stories. I think everybody at some point in their life should wait at tables.
That's
you know, kind of what you learn to appreciate. You learn to tip. That's for sure.
That's what my daughter Stacy wanted to do with these two girls. And actually, my grandson Nolan has also done that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure Luke has, but Nolan has done it. And yes, Stacy,
you have an appreciation for it. That's for sure. Because you're getting it from both sides. You're often getting it from the restaurant owners or the boss, you know, the managers, and from the customers. And sometimes it's kind of tough.
Yeah. My daughter Stacy, when she was about 14, landed a weekend job at what's now Riverside Cafe. It was Dick and Jane's in those days.
Okay.
But she would come home, you know, 15 years old, come on a Saturday, come home with a wad of bills, you know, 3 inches thick, and say, wow. She always got great tips in those days.
I remember my sister worked at a place that was known for pies. Yeah. It was kind of like the.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Village Inn, only, but you know, like a Marie Callender's type place.
Yeah,
and she would come home with pies because they had an expiration on them. And oh, I was in heaven, especially when she brought home like the berry pies. Oh,
I like that.
Oh man,
that's a good plan.
Boy, all right. Yeah.
National Waitstaff Day today. Thanks, guys. Coming up, 7 o'clock, top of the hour news this morning. President Trump pushing a new missile defense plan. Kansas towns recovering from weekend storms. That's what we're going to be telling you about on our news at the top of the hour. Steve is Head of the Morning here on KNSS.
Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra IS. Saber Wealth is not affiliated with Kestra IS or Kestra AS.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.